And welcome back to WSHIT's News at 11:38. We'll get you up to date before 11:48. It's news you can use before you snooze. Traffic, weather, and breaking stories before you go to bed. I'm Mike DuPage Jr. III, and before we get to breaking sports news, let's go down to weather.
Thanks, Mike, and good afternoon, everyone. Temperatures currently in the lower 70s, headed toward a high today. Come on, asshole. Get the fuck out of here. I don't want to hear your fucking story anyway. That's like typical Mogul. Am I on TV now? Asshole.
It looks like it's cloudy with a chance of severance packages. We'll be back after this commercial break.
On this episode of the commercial break.
Let me ask you a question, because I'm curious. Why is it that in porn movies, there's always some dick slapping going on? I mean, under what circumstances does anyone think it's appropriate to smack your dick across anything? And so Eddie poses the question. So, Brian, you know, you want to be involved? Like, do you want to be involved in the questioning on stage? Is that something you'd like to do? And I just thought about it for 1.6 seconds before I was like, no, I do not.
You don't?
No. Bill Burr, real comic. Brian Greene, no comic. I think I'm going for a chit-chat with Rohan. And here I am at the end of the Peachtree fucking terminal, getting ready to take off in a Cessna. I'm like, holy shit. And so he's, you know, so I'm like, 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, I'm ready for takeoff. And he's like, clear for takeoff, up 10 degrees, and ready to turn to the right. And he's like, okay, so that means you're going to head up, and then you fly to the left. And he's like, okay, go. And I'm like, oh, so I press the little thing, and he's like, go, all the way. And I'm like, ah. And then we're just riding down the runways, keep it straight. Holy, this thing is going all over. Like, I'm like,
oh my God.
I'm like a fucking teenager that just drank a bottle of Golden Grain going all over the road.
Next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
I had been called to a case on the west side of town. Mrs. Cruffett had lost her hose. And I was gonna find it.
Oh, Mr. Private Detective, I think I found your hose.
I smacked it across her face left and right. Showed her whose hose was boss.
Oh, Mr. Cruffett. Detective Cruffett.
That's Detective Cruffett to you. Watch my hose go.
Case of the missing hose. Yeah.
I found it, and I put it in her bushes. I watered those plants.
Let me ask you a question, because I'm curious. Why is it that in porn movies, there's always some dick slapping going on? I mean, under what circumstances does anyone think it's appropriate to smack your dick across anything? Like, have you ever had a dick on your forehead? Just like, bang, bang, like.
No, I don't
care. Wake up!
That.
Wake up, pussy! Here I come.
Like, who started this trend? I'm sorry, but I think it's disturbing. And no one lets me try it. And no one lets me try it. So there you go. Yeah. Don't you even dare. But what? Just a little bit. No.
Mrs. Crumpets likes
it. Yeah.
Mrs. Crumpets, did you find my hose?
Man, did I.
Provocateur 3000 presents Private Detective.
Nice.
Sponsored by Disney.
Yeah, right.
Sponsored by Johnson & Johnson Baby Products. I'm Brian, this is Chrissy, and
Happy New Year!
We're well into whatever, and we're still saying Happy New Year, so yes. Congratulations. That's just... Anthony Hopkins won the fucking Oscar? I didn't even know the guy was still alive.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And what movie was he in?
It's called The Father.
The Father?
The Father, yeah.
Sounds exactly like the shitty kind of movie the Oscars likes to award shit to. What a disaster.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
Well, I didn't watch it, but what a disaster.
You just watched the catch up.
I just watched all the
clips.
Yeah, I just watched all everybody bitching about it.
Right.
One guy was like, you know, whoever, Soderbergh is the director. Soderbergh, the guy who did Crash and Traffic and all those movies, right?
Yeah.
Really great director, actually. And so he directed the Oscars.
Hence,
no real, you know, person in charge. And it's supposed to be like a journey through the movies, right?
Yeah.
So his whole intention was to, I guess, to film it like you were, you know, watching a movie or something like that. But from what I saw, it just looked like a bunch of people from random locations talking in bad microphones. That's what it looked like.
Yeah, and it was definitely weird.
Yeah. And then I think that obviously someone right beforehand went like this. Anthony, who?
Yeah, that was a big surprise.
How is this possible? And then they said, okay, here's the deal. Because everyone's going to tune out directly after this happens, we ought to put this at the very end. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know that was done on purpose. Because how else could they get away with it? I mean, Chadwick. Chadwick. Is that Chadwick Boseman? Is that his name?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, who played the Black Panther, which is such a great fucking movie. And
then he was great.
He was in another movie, and I didn't see it, and I don't give a fuck, because I think the guy should have won the Oscar just for Black Panther alone. I mean, it was a great movie. Talented guy, dies at 43 years old. Obviously, he's the sentimental favorite, and then for those who saw the movie say, it's clearly he wins. Like, it's not even, there's no contention.
Yeah, he was really good in that movie.
And then they give it to Anthony fucking Hopkins, who's 84 years old. Now, granted, he's going to die soon, too, and he's done a lot of wonderful movies, but he's already won an Oscar. Give it up. Didn't he win for Silence of the Whatevers?
Sounds of the Sheep
or whatever the fuck that movie is. That's a great movie too.
Yeah.
I had with some cold wine and some fava bean. Cold candy and some fava bean.
Yes.
Scariest. I was like 12 and I was like, holy shit.
That movie still makes me scared of storage units.
I put stellation in the basket. What's that song? He's, you know.
Yeah, that guy.
That creepy like 80s song.
Yeah, dancing around.
And he's dancing around.
He's got his skin.
Yeah, he's got his dick all tucked. That's a crazy fucking movie. It's a crazy movie that was so brilliantly put together.
Uh-huh.
And rightfully so, Anthony Hopkins won. And then he went on to do a bunch of great other movies, of which I can't remember any of them. But, you know, the truth is he's a well-respected actor.
He's great.
He's 83 years old. And now he didn't even expect to win. He's in some Scottish countryside. With his fucking sheep behind him, giving a speech on Twitter like, thank you very much. I didn't expect this. I'm going to go back to my canter and fava beans. Appreciate this. I want to be left alone to die in peace. Somebody asked me to do a damn movie. I needed $500,000, so I did it to keep my estate here mowed because it's 17,000 acres of grass.
Right.
What are these people? Go live in Hollywood. Live in New York. Come on, Anthony. Get it together. The fuck? Now, and never mind, I'm not even going to say it. You know, Anthony, this Boseman kid should have won, and I'm disappointed that he didn't, even though I had zero interest in any of this shit this week. I just felt like, you know, I think that's right. I think everyone should be upset about that. The brand new TCBpodcast.com is where you go to find all the show notes. You can read more about Chrissy and I, and you can get access to our entire library, audio and video, and we're on YouTube. YouTube.com/the commercial break. 470-584-8449 is where you can text us or leave us a message. Or you can go to @thecommercialbreak on the Instagram. On the Instagram there, you can DM us anything you want to. Feel free to leave us more hate comments. We love it. Keep it coming.
Yes.
Here's the thing about our Instagram account. It'll go up by like 10 people a day, but it'll go down by like 4 people a day. So we like net 6. Did you notice that? No. Have you noticed this? It goes up and then it goes down and then it goes up.
I didn't realize people were unsubscribing.
Lots of people are unsubscribing. So now either one of two things is happening. I think that most of this is like people, spammy people who they're like, you know, oh, hello, Mr. Whatever. I can help you get 300 million subscribers. Then you go to their page and they have one post.
Yeah.
And they've got 1.6 million friends, follows. And you're like, what the fuck? How did you do that? And this for a second you think about it. You're like, for $24, you know, what I got to lose. Right? But we get like, you know, we get 2 or 3 of those a day. So I think what's happening is as Instagram goes and weeds those people out, our numbers go down. But it's awful frustrating. Take 2 steps forward and 1 step back.
Maybe Henry Fonda can help.
Henry Fonda.
Yeah.
Let's ask him a little later on in the show. And so then you can go to Clubhouse, of course. Last night, we're recording this on Monday, but last night we had Caroline Ray in the club, Only Joking Room with Eddie Brill. Eddie Brill's a guy who used to book the Dave Letterman show, the comedians on the Dave Letterman show. He's well-respected comic and comedy mentor. And so he's doing a room with us inside of the Comedy Podcast
That's
Club.
That's so cool.
It's incredible.
I tuned in last night.
Yeah, you did. Listen. Yeah,
we got there in the room.
It was so interesting. We managed to get Chrissy on the app. And then this week, if you're listening to this on, you know, in the May 1st week, May 2nd, which is this Sunday, we are going to have Bill Burr, then Stephen Wright, and then Susie Essman from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I love her. Yeah. I love all
those
people.
Fucking insane.
Yeah. It's incredible.
To be up on stage with Bill Burr. And so we were kind of like having a little meeting last night, a little chat, you know, a little after room kind of powwow and see what we can do better and what we can do next time.
Yeah.
And so Eddie poses the question. So Brian, you know, you want to be involved? Like, do you want to be involved in the questioning on stage? Is that something you'd like to do? And I just thought about it for 1.6 seconds before I was like, no, I do not.
You don't?
No. Bill Burr, real comic. Brian Green, no comic. Bill Burr, most notorious man in comedy. Brian Green has an edit button. Nope, no thanks. I appreciate it, but I'll keep on saying people's names. That's what I do.
That's what you do.
Doug, do you have a question? Bob, you're next. That's what I do.
And you moderate it.
And I'm all too happy to be sitting on the stage with it. But I will say that something surreal. So anyway, follow us on the Clubhouse. If you need an invite, we have now thousands of them. Clubhouse has now given Comedy Podcast
They've
Club.
They've released the hounds.
They've released the hounds. And so we have thousands of invites. You are welcome to them. We're going to put posts on our social media and everywhere. You'll see it. And if you need we're going to put a link. You just hit that link and then you can skip the line. You don't even need an invitation. You just download the app. You can RSVP for Bill Burr this weekend, May 2nd, 2021, in case you're listening to this in 2027 or something like that. But a funny thing happened last night. So we're trying to get this whole shit bag together, right? It's like a lot of coordinating parts and pieces. And I don't know, like this Caroline Ray is coming on last night. I don't know Caroline Ray, right? Mm-hmm. She's not my friend. We're not buddy buddies. It's not like I can pick up the
phone. You haven't spoken
before. No, I can't pick up the phone and call Caroline Ray. And one of the things that you have to do in order to get someone into a room on the stage with you is they have to follow you. It's one of these quirks about the app so that then I can pull her in essentially onto stage. And if I don't, then she gets lost in the crowd. It's embarrassing for everybody. It's just a big disaster, right? Yeah. So for like the entire weekend, I'm like, okay, I just need Caroline to follow me. Like I'm telling Eddie, just have Caroline follow me. Yeah. So I make sure she's on stage.
Yep.
Eddie sends a message, but you know, she responds to other things, but doesn't say I'm following Brian. And I can see that she's not following me.
Right.
So what you don't see is going on last night is like 7.5 minutes beforehand. There's this like mad dash to figure out if we're even going to have a guest tonight.
Yeah.
We know we've promised all these people that Caroline Ray's going to be in there and she's not following us. So I'm like, holy fucking shit. So Eddie goes, here's her cell phone number. Get a hold of her.
Okay.
And I was like, I just got a little starstruck for a moment. Yeah. I was like, how do you text the celebrity?
Right.
How do you do that?
Hey there.
I had just watched. Hey, Brian Green.
You know,
a guy from the commercial break.
Yeah, TCB.
TCBpodcast.com. You never been there? No. That's a good oversight on your part. My people haven't called your people?
Yeah.
That hasn't happened yet? Are we lunching? Are we going to lunch after Corona? What's going on?
Yeah.
So I text her and I'm like, okay, so it takes me 3.5 minutes just to write the text.
Right.
It's exactly one sentence because I'm like,
what do I say? How do
hey,
I word
Caroline.
It?
No, I should probably say hi, Caroline, because hey's a little slip. So hi, Caroline, ! Should I put an exclamation point? That sounds a little needy, doesn't it? Okay. How about dot, dot, dot? No, dot, dot, dot. The lips is bad. Okay. All right. Hi. Hey. Okay. Back to hey. Hey, she's a comedian. She knows how to take that, right? She's cool. Hey, Caroline. Did I spell Caroline right? Oh, is there an I in Caroline? I can't remember. Is it I or Y? Let me go check IMDb.
I'm totally picturing you.
Oh my god! I was like a nervous mess, and I'm like, okay, hi, Caroline. Dot dot dot. It's Brian. And then I'm like, Brian? Who the fuck is Brian? Who does she care? She probably gets 10 Brians a day texting her saying it's Brian. Should I just throw a dick pic up there? Maybe she'll pay attention then. Like, what do I do in this circumstance? So what I say, there's just blood everywhere. I'm sorry. I just cut my leg there's blood everywhere. But that's okay. We'll keep on going with the show. Hey, don't worry about it. If you get a little blood on your foot, don't worry about it. So then I'm like, okay, dot, dot, dot. Hey, it's Brian, from Clubhouse. And I just don't even know what to say after that. It's anything that I could possibly say is going
to
sound fucking needy. Yeah, and it's just so, I know she's going to think this is spam. So I'm like, hey, it's Brian. I am moderating the room tonight that you're coming in at 9, you know, and I'm like trying to respect my grammar. Eddie Brill asked me to reach out to you. Can you please follow me at Brian Green? And it's just like, holy, literally my mind was racing. And I see that the clock is winding down and I have no time to make this all work. So I just shot off some casual, hey, Caroline, follow me at Brian Green. Hey, Caroline, follow me at Brian Green. Or you're going to get lost in the crowd. That's what I said.
Did she write you back or did she just follow you?
She did not write me back. Okay. She followed me. She probably was like, I'm not going to engage this motherfucker.
Let me just follow.
But then when she gets on, she says, you know, oh, Brian, I was just listening to you. And you know, she mentioned my name a couple times.
Yeah.
So I thought that was just an invitation to start a conversation, but clearly it was not because Eddie was like, and on with my show. And I was like, oh, sorry, I'll just sit over here and do my thing. Love Eddie Brill. He's nice. So wonderful.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Well, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Why the fuck does UPS, USPS, the United States Postal Service, why are they running commercials?
They are?
On our television stations.
Really?
Don't we pay for this shit?
Yeah.
Isn't this coming out of our tax dollars?
Yes.
Why are we running? Who in the fuck is just learning about the United States Postal Service?
Who doesn't know about
it? I learned about this in kindergarten.
Aren't they in debt too?
They're highly in debt. Yeah. They lose like $1 billion a year.
They're spending money to advertise.
Even while they're still delivering all of those Amazon packages, they're still finding a way to lose money because it's a government service. And, you know, they just can't. Why do something right? Why do something? What is it? Why do something inexpensively when you can do it at twice the price? It's like the United States government just can't seem to get their shit together. And now they are spending money on USPS commercials. And I'm seeing them everywhere.
What did it say?
It's like, you know, if you need packages on time, call UPS. We're USPS. We'll get there a couple days later. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It was bad for a while.
Mailmen like to blow shit up. And I mean, it's just like, they say the most mundane shit. It is supposed to make a warm and fuzzy commercial with this swooning music that's supposed to make you feel some way about the USPS. When all I know is my ballot was late, you can't get my shit to my front door on time, and while I love my personal postman, nothing ever happens on time at the post office.
No, I
got to stand in line for 10 hours for a passport. That's all I know.
Yeah.
Don't put a commercial on air. Hire some more people. That's what you need to do is hire some more people at a living fucking wage so that we can actually have a postal service that runs. The one thing that separates us, one of the things that separates us from the rest of the fucking shitty ass world is this. The United States Postal Service. The fact that you can put something in your mailbox out front of your house and then have it anywhere in the world within 10 days for a song and a dance is the most amazing thing that has ever happened to the United States. One of the most amazing things that ever happened to the United States of America. It is what sets us apart as a modern civilized society. Yeah. That we can communicate in this manner very cheaply and very quickly. Mm-hmm. Right now, I realize the internet kind of fucked things up for you, USPS.
But the fact is, if I have to get a check to somebody or a box or a birthday present or a card or, you know, pipe bomb or whatever I'm sending to people. Pipe bomb. Cocaine.
Stick it in the mail.
Cocaine. All I do is I stick it in the mail and there it goes. I don't know how it gets there. I'm not curious at all about how it gets there, but there's planes, trains, and automobiles, and then it gets there. What I do know is that I know that that's what you do.
Right.
I have no question marks about why that little blue and white truck is stopping by my house every day. Right. Why do you feel the need to spend money? That's right. Don't do it. Stop it. Leave that. Amazon doesn't even advertise.
No.
When's the last time you saw a UPS commercial? Never.
Yeah.
They just put their stip their shit on NASCARs.
Exactly.
How effective is that? Oh, look, it's the poo-poo people are sponsoring Dale Jr., Gephardt Jr., whatever the fuck. Stop wasting my money. I know what you do.
That's right.
I'm serious. I feel upset about this.
I can tell.
I was like, Yeah. Oh, but I do know one thing. I'm not sending anything highly valuable through USPS.
That is true.
Because I'm sure it's not going to get there on time or without damage. And there's nothing you can do about it. No. Good luck. I mean, good luck getting the USPS to... We had a package that ended up damaged at our house, right? The USPS just kind of... It was literally a swing set.
Oh, wow.
And they...
Was that the one?
Yeah.
That dropped off.
I know. They just dropped it off and just like threw it on the garage. Literally threw it on the driveway.
Yeah.
Pieces everywhere. They took no care whatsoever with this package. But I cannot do anything about it. There's nothing I can do because there's no one to talk to. If you call somebody, they're not even in the United States. And you call somebody and then they're like, I'm sorry, sir. You know, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?
This is true.
Oh, here comes the FBI to talk to Brian about mentioning pipe bombs. This is my big shot to get into the seat where Brian is. Hi, Chrissy.
Hi.
Hey, Emily. Good to see everybody. Welcome. Yes. Podcast universe still flourishing. We're now on 10 users.
We might need your help with the Instagram page.
Instagram. I am an Instagram master. I have 2 posts and 7 million followers.
That's right.
Do you know how I did this?
How?
I faked them all. I've got a house that's full of phones and they're just running 24 hours a day, downloading podcasts and posting Instagram. Some people say, oh, you have a very nice podcast. It's number one in the entire world. How do you do that? It's a house full of phones. It makes so much sense. So much sense and so much money. So I wanted to come on. Now you're talking about the United States Postal Service. Where we are from, we also have a postal service. It's very good. Here's how it works. You stick package in middle of town square, okay?
Is there a big bin in the middle of the
big
house?
Bin, and there is a town jester. With a hat with little bells on it, and he's singing a song. What do you call it? A mirtz? Or I don't even know what you call it. He's singing a song. Drop your package off here. Have no fear. Your package will never get anywhere. So you drop it off in the middle of town, and then many donkeys will come and poop on their package.
Oh.
But this is part of the process. You got to understand. Is. Once the package is pooped on, then it's ready to be it's ready for the next step in processing, which is typically an elephant that has been in service for many years in our country as the main postal delivery elephant. We tie it to the back of the elephant. We give it one good whack on the butt, and then we tell it to go to
delivers the mail
in a certain direction. So every third month it's going north. Every 6th month it's going south. You just have to time it the right way. But this is, you know, this very similar to the United States Postal Service in many different ways. I can't remember any of them, but it's very similar. So don't think that you're the only civilized country because you have some truck picking up your mail in the front of your house every day, blah, blah, blah. Basically, all it's doing is sending you Banana Republic mailers every 16 seconds. Who are these people? Why are they sending you so many catalogs? When is the last time you bought something from a Banana Republic catalog?
Yeah, it's been a while.
And Restoration Hardware? Fuck these people. They are sending entire volumes.
They
it's
do.
Like an encyclopedia.
Yeah, it's a big catalog.
Restoration Hardware. Please, they should call it Restoration Trees. Put them back up and stop taking them down. It's bad. So how have you been, Chrissy? I meant to check in with you. I mean, I have been checking in with you, but I mean...
You have.
You know, by phone. I wanted to talk to you. Because the camera's only one way. I can just...
You can only see what I'm doing.
That's right. But I'll tell you what. I like Jeff.
Oh, yeah.
He is a man who is hung like a... like a Galapagos lizard. And I don't
That's
know if you've ever seen
know.
A Galapagos lizard.
I'll pass along that.
But they are dragging,
Jeff.
If you know what I mean. Dragging in the sand. You know, Galapagos lizard has, when you look at the tracks across the beach, is four little lizard prints and then one line following behind it. That's its Galapagos penis.
Okay.
Yes.
Learn
so
something
tell,
new all the
tell
time.
Tell Jeff congratulations.
I will tell him.
Wow, that's a winner. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Okay, what do you think about that date now? It's been at least 3 months since I've been here. I've been trying to relax and say, hey, listen, give Chrissy some time and some space. Just watch her through the video camera. Pick up some pointers from Jeff. His dick slapping ability is fantastic. He's on point. Look at that hose. Okay. So you want to go on that date?
I can't right now, but I'll get back to you.
Oh, so you're saying there's a chance. I like it.
They're here for Brian.
I don't know. I think they're here for me. Okay, ciao. See you later. We at Podcast Universe. Bye. Always here to help your ego. Bye-bye. Bye.
Oh,
Henry.
The Galapagos lizard.
Yes. Interesting.
Where did you come up with that one? Yeah, I'm just here. I'm trying to make things up, okay? All right? Give me a break. Oh, one other thing I wanted to talk about.
Yes.
Did you see that people that – did you see about this nurse who was doing surgery on someone while she was in a courtroom? You know
– I've heard about that. I saw a doctor, a plastic surgeon, was actually tuning in, doing a Zoom call.
This is
like while he was doing surgery.
I don't want my cashier doing anything but bagging my groceries at one time. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I – here's the deal.
It seems dangerous.
It's ever, yeah. Welcome to the fucking 2021 where the world has just lost its good, ever loving mind.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. In 2020, something happened called coronavirus. I don't know if you've heard of it. Look it up. Google it.
Yep.
And the whole world went into lockdown. But certain things cannot stop, no matter what. And one of those things happens to be court because it's the way that almost every municipality across the country makes money.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, they fine you for traffic tickets or, you know, having pot or whatever it is. And then there's more important things like, you know, embezzlement, murder, and suicide. Suicide.
Yes.
I don't think you get
crimes.
I don't think you get charged for suicide.
Crimes.
I'm charging you with suicide.
Yeah.
So crimes.
Crimes. Yes.
So most municipalities now have some kind of Zoom courtroom where
yes.
if you have to go to court, you have to go to court. You just show up at your own house. And there's been a couple funny incidences that have happened along the way. We've already denoted that I'm not a cat guy,
yeah.
right? Let's go back to that one. Where is he?
I'm not a cat.
You know you are, sir.
You have no authority here, Jackie.
Oh, that's a difference. That's a Zoom town hall. But we knew that the guy was a cat. The lawyer ended up having one of those filters on him, and he was trying to explain to the judge that he wasn't a cat. And I think the judge understood that from the get. But we know you're not.
Yes, we know that.
I'm not a cat.
It is really funny. Still.
Wow. Bob, did you grow a tail and some fuzzy ears?
I'm not a cat.
No, sir, I'm not a cat. He was like scrambling to explain it.
Okay.
I should have asked Caroline Ray, this, you know, the talking cat that was on their show.
Yep.
Anyway, so these courtrooms now have Zoom courtrooms where you have to show up via Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can imagine, this makes already probably very dramatic and wild situation even that more dramatic and wild, because now you have to try and coordinate everybody into this Zoom call, and then you have to
right.
make sure that the defendant and the plaintiff and all this other stuff, they have the same kind of rights that they would inside of a courtroom. And so what has been happening is people are doing Zoom court from very different and odd places.
Yes.
And one of those places is apparently the fucking operating room.
That is crazy.
Which is insane to me.
I know. I would be pissed if I was the person getting operated on. What in
just
the world?
Unbelievable. Oh. Like I said, I don't want the girl at Disney World checking her phone when I'm getting on the ride. I want her checking my lap belt. I don't want the guy bagging my groceries to put the fucking dog food on top of the eggs. I want him paying attention. When I'm at a restaurant, nothing drives me crazy like a waiter that checks their phone. That drives me up a fucking wall. Yeah. When you are at work, do not take a Zoom call that is not work related. Like when you're doing some kind of service for somebody else, don't fuck it up potentially. Just don't be rude.
Yeah.
And then you're doing surgery on someone and you're
it's insane.
Take a day off.
I know, right?
Move the court case.
Or at
least
like an hour.
That's right. Don't you think the judge would understand?
Yeah.
I'm putting double D's in Mrs. Crockett over here. I need a couple minutes.
Yeah.
First of all, or alternately, Mrs. Crockett, I can't put your double D's in. It's plastic surgery. Yeah. I mean, can't you move it back an hour?
Yes.
What if you drop the phone in there?
No, it's nuts.
It's insane.
So were they in trouble?
I have no idea. I have no idea. But what's crazy? I mean, that part of the article didn't say what happened, what the consequences were. I don't think there is anything to be in trouble about.
Yeah.
Because I guess if you're in a 4-hour surgery, you know, like anything that we do for a long period of time, you're going to be doing other things or thinking about other things. Or when two surgeons are in a room and they're given, you know, they're doing a brain surgery of epic proportions for, you know, 30 hours, these marathon long surgeries, they're not just focused on the brain for 30 hours. No one can concentrate on one thing for that long. They got to be having some kind of external conversation, right? I've been in a plane, flown a plane.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know. I don't know why they let me do that, but I flew a plane. I was into it for a minute till I had children and my wife told me no more of that shit.
Right.
I'll never do that. I'll be 90 before I'm able to fly a plane in Astrid's eyes. But I fly a plane and guess what?
You were paying attention.
I was paying attention. My phone was nowhere near the steering wheel of the plane.
Exactly.
Because that's just the right thing to do. Now there's lots of other electric equipment. There's even an iPad, but that's so you know what direction you're going. And so you don't hit the other fucking planes out there.
Yeah.
Right? But when I'm in the cockpit with someone, with someone else, like the, you know, the coach, coach pilot, go, Brian, go. Land. I'll tell you a funny story about flying a plane, by the way. So when you do that, you have other conversations besides what's going on in the plane. You might say, oh, a nice day. Or, you know, the girls are topless around that pool. Let's circle around that pool. Whatever, right? You have other conversations. I can understand that. Mm-hmm. I get that. It's just human nature. But going to court on a Zoom call while you're doing a surgery is the epitome of irresponsible.
Yes.
When I worked at McDonald's in my very first job, we did not have cell phones, but pagers were becoming a thing.
The beeper.
Beep, beep, beep. 143, star, star, star. That meant I love you, right? Or 20, that means I need a 20 bag. I mean, I didn't know that. It was just what I heard from my other drug dealing friends. But, you know, there were codes that 911, call me back quick.
Yes.
Right. That's the one you use to the drug dealer. 911, like your drug emergency is any worse than anybody else's. No, dude, I need it now. So when the pagers come out, guess what? The number one rule was when you're on the floor of a McDonald's or cooking someone's food. You can't have the fucking pager.
No, it's distracting.
It's distracting. It's rude. Mm-hmm. You should be paying attention to people's food, not paying attention to some page or some drug deal that you're doing. That's a side job. Do your side job on your side job. Now, you could go downstairs and make out with the hostess in the stock room. That was perfectly acceptable.
Sure.
Those were things that were allowed.
Right.
But a pager, no. Then when I worked at a fine dining restaurant as an adult, as a manager or whatever, I could not open my phone and start checking text messages in the middle of dinner. It's just not something that was appropriate. You never did it. You would be fired on the spot if you did something like that. You knew that. But in 2021, it seems that this is prevalent. That anybody can do anything that they want, whenever they want. You know, everybody else be damned. Including taking a Zoom call. Can you imagine being the person that was...
No, that's what I was saying. I would be pissed. I'd be so pissed.
Here's the worst part about this nurse. Now, doctors were giving surgery, but there was a nurse who was doing like a butt implant or something, a butt injection. Like butt injections. And they were
to
on...
Plump them up?
I guess. So, I just don't get it. But, so... This nurse was not there for a simple traffic ticket. Mm-hmm. She was there for grand. She was going to court for Grand Theft Auto.
Really?
For stealing a fucking car.
Oh my God.
First of all, check your doctor's offices. I mean,
yeah,
I don't want my nurse to be up for Grand Theft Auto while she's giving me butt injections. I just don't. She's
like, Grand Theft Auto.
Okay, drop your pants. And while she's giving me a butt injection, she's lifting my wallet out and putting it back in her pocket. Grand
keys.
Theft Auto. Wow. That's a big one, right?
That is a big one.
That's one of those ones I think you go to jail for a long time.
Yeah.
Why were they doing a Zoom? I don't know. Chrissy,
To get this resolved.
I don't know. And then I saw one where like a girl, there was a domestic violence situation. And so the girl was there to get a required restraining order.
Okay.
Meaning that the prosecutors, the municipality was asking that this restraining order be put into place, regardless of what the woman felt and the abused woman. So they are in this courtroom. Now, this is not a funny story, so I'm not going to make light of it. But they are in this courtroom, in the Zoom courtroom, and the prosecutor, a sharp-eyed prosecutor. So now they've got the girl, they've got the man who abused her, right?
Yep.
And then they've got the defense attorney and his defense attorney, and then they've got the judge and the prosecutor, this sharp-eyed prosecutor.
Oh, right.
Lady, did you see this one?
I did see this one, yeah.
And the judge is asking the girl questions, and she's kind of hemming and hawing. Maybe, probably not. I don't know. Maybe it was a misunderstanding. And the sharp-eyed prosecutor catches her looking to the side. Every time a question is asked, she looks to the side, and she notices that the gentleman who looks like he's in a different location altogether, the guy who supposedly abused her, is either shaking his head or nodding his head.
Oh, wow. He was there in the room.
They noticed that this was going on, but very subtly. You can watch the video. It was very subtle. He was kind of like, you know, he gave like a little, you know, click of the jaw, right?
Whoa.
Or a little head nod. And so he was coaching this woman on what to say.
Yeah.
And so the prosecutor says, Judge, I have reason to believe that Mr. So-and-so may be in the same house right now, and I fear for the safety. Is it okay? And she had already coordinated. While she was watching this happen, she was typing to the local police department.
To get out there.
Who then was out knocking on the door when she said, I have reason to believe, but the sheriff's officer is out front. Can you please have both of them step out front?
Yeah.
And no shit, they were in the same room. They were in the same room.
Wow.
They were just across from each other. Sharp-eyed prosecutor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she was begging for him not to go to jail, and he was begging not to go to jail, and the judge was like, no, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, as well he should.
It's a wild, wild world we live in.
It is.
I'm telling you this right now. Let me give you a little story about flying a plane.
Okay, yes, do tell.
I am horrified of heights. Absolutely horrified.
Really?
I could not get up on the roof of my house right now, even though it's a relatively flat slope. I could not get up on the roof of my house right now without feeling a ton of anxiety. Now, I could do it, but it would give me a ton of anxiety.
Yeah.
Unrequited heights. Heights where there are no protections against falling, to me, is extremely upsetting to my, I can't do it. You can ask Astrid. We went to the top of the Sears Tower, which I've been to before, right? And I don't like it. But it's a good view, and if I can stand a couple feet away from the window, I'm okay, right?
Yes.
But now they have this walkout thing where you walk out on the glass, and it actually cracked a couple months ago.
Oh, my God.
Which is really, if that would have happened to me, Hody, I would never get on an elevator again.
No.
But we get up, we have to wait in line because there's only one, and everyone wants
like
to take
a
picture there. Yeah, and then they have a camera up top, and it takes a picture of you. You can lay on it, you know, and lay on it! Get me away from it. Lay on it. You people fucking insane. Insane. So Astrid and I go up there. I'm dating Astrid at the time. Well, you know, I get up there. And as soon as the person in front of us goes, my knees buckled. Like I literally kind of fell to the ground.
Wow.
And Astrid kind of had to pick me up. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I really want to do this with you, but it's just too much. It's like sensory overload.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no, it's okay. So she steps out there and, you know, brave her and look like a big vagina. And so, so me and heights, right?
Yeah.
However,
were you facing your fears?
No.
By doing the
just
plane?
Like my brother-in-law is a pilot or training to be a pilot, Danny, Gustavo's brother.
Yes.
And so he came to the United States to look at flight schools. And we went to a flight school here in Atlanta. And this wonderful flight instructor, his name was Rohan, right? Like a younger guy. And he has a flight instructing international flight school, but he mainly deals with children. like teenagers getting their licenses.
That's perfect for you.
Perfect, right?
That's a perfect person to work with.
I agree with you. But we're talking, him and Danny are talking, and he says, you know, and we've been to a number of other flight schools, and they basically just sit you down, they give you a package, they walk you around the school, they show you a plane, and, you know, okay, see you later.
Yeah.
But this guy's like, you know what? The best way that we can know if we're going to work well together is to get up and fly.
Just do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Danny's like, okay, sure. And he's flown before, right? He's been flying in Venezuela. Yeah. And so he's like, yeah, well, when can we do that? He's like, well, let's do it right now. Let's go. I got the plane available, you know, whatever. And so we jump in the plane. I jump in the plane, right? And now I'm like, holy shit. I'm in this, I'm like, in the, you know, plane. Four-person plane, right?
Yeah.
And we go up, and he's...
Were you wearing a leather bomber jacket and some goggles?
No, but
that would have been great.
I have been in an open cockpit plane before, right? On the, like, the flight where you go around the city,
right?
Right? Which was twice as scary as this plane, because you didn't even know that that plane had been certified for anything, right. Let alone flight, right? It couldn't, like, it, we sat on the ground for 25 minutes while the guy tried to start the engine. It was just like, I was like, looking at Astrid, and she's like, and I'm like, I swear. And then they have this, like, tin floor, right? But the tin floor has, like, two big holes in it at the bottom where the metal meets. So you can literally see through the fucking floor.
Oh, my God.
And you're 10,000 feet. You know, it's not 10,000 feet, but 2,000 feet in the air. It's really scary. 2,000 feet, 10,000 feet doesn't fucking matter. Yeah. If you fall, you're dying, right?
Yes.
So anyway, so back to the story. So we get up, and he's having Danny fly. But Danny's flown before. But he's having Danny fly. This guy's
take
trusting
over the
Danny.
Controls.
He never touched the controls, but the real pilot never touched the controls.
Oh, wow.
He said, okay, checklist, okay, Baba, okay, this, let's talk to the guys, you know, do the man, you know, on a flight, number 2 to 20, whatever. And then, and away we go, right? So then we fly up toward my part of town up north, and, you know, we got a little space around us, and he's like, okay, let's practice some stalls. And I'm like, oh, no.
Were they cut off the engine?
No. Yeah. No. And so I'm like back there, you know, I got the microphone, and I'm like, And this Rohan guy looks back at me, he goes, you know, that's not for you, huh? And I'm like, bro, like, if we could not do this part, I just would appreciate it. And he's like, oh, no, we got to do this part. And I'm like, but what if the plane doesn't turn back on? He goes, it's like a car. You know, once you get going, you can always turn the plane back on, you know, as long as the engine's working. And I'm like, exactly. So we do some stalls. I shit myself a couple times. And then, you know, and then Danny lands the plane. And I'm like, super impressed.
Yes.
I'm like, holy shit. Well, I get fascinated with this over the next couple of weeks. I am fascinated by this whole flight experience. So Brian picks up the phone. He calls old Rohan. He says, hey, listen, I'd like to do this. I'd like to learn how to become a pilot. Show me how.
Yeah.
And so Rohan says, come on down. I'll have a little speech. So I came on down, and I kind of knew it was coming. But he says, you know, best way you and I get to learn each other is just let's just get out there and fly. And I'm like, you know what? Okay. Just no stalling, right? And he goes, no stalling. We won't do any stalling today. You and me, let's take a flight. Mm-hmm. So we go, it's, you know, beautiful day outside here in Atlanta, blah, blah, blah. And we get in the plane, and he goes, okay, take out your checklist. And I'm like, take out my what? He's like, take out your checklist. And I'm like, checklist. He's like, right there. And I take out the checklist. He's like, okay, let's go through your checklist. He's going through this checklist. And I'm like, he's like, okay, press that button. That's this. But you actually turn on your altimeter and blah, blah, blah.
And you had never done this before.
Never.
Wow.
And so he's like, okay, I want you to call to the tower. And this is how you say it. Well, I've worked in radio before. So calling to the tower part was one shit I could understand, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, Delta 443, this is AVN 345. Should we come through CD? And then the guy, I take a runway M, does it say? You know, I'll clear for takeoff. You know, and I'm like, this is cool. Okay. And then he's like, okay, let's go. And I'm like, okay.
And then you did it.
No. And then I was like, I'm like, I have my hands up. And he's like, no, you let's go. Put your hands, put your feet on the thing. You drive with your feet. And so we go, right? And then we do this, and then we do another checklist. You pull off to the side, you do another checklist, just like they do with the big plane. Uh-huh. And then all of a sudden he has me line up. And I'm like, clearly, he's not going to let someone fly a plane that's never flown a plane.
Yeah.
That's against all common sense. He's just like, he's letting me do the cool part.
Motions.
Yeah, go through the motions.
Yeah.
Get used to it. These are the things you have to learn in order to fly, right?
Right?
But I'll fly and I'll show you what it's like. And then when, you know, later on down the road, you get to fly too. And I'm like, okay, cool. And so we position ourselves on the runway, and he goes, okay, so what I'm going to have you do is I want you to call to the tower and get you cleared for your final takeoff. And then you're just going to hit that
just
real quick.
It.
And we're looking for this number. And then you're going to pull back on the yoke. And I'm like, no.
Whoa.
So I go, no, Rohan. And he's like, Brian. fly the plane. And I'm like, I can't fly the plane. And he's like, the good news is once you get up there, it really flies itself. You just have to pay attention to two parts, getting up off the ground and getting back down. And I'm like, you're not going to let me land. And he's like, let's not even worry about that part yet. He's like, I probably won't let you land. So I'm like, oh my God. But you know, I'm like,
adrenaline,
what do I do now?
Pumping.
Yeah. My adrenaline is like, holy, my head is so probably so
you're
red.
Sweating through your bomber jacket.
I'm sweating. I probably have shorts and sandals on and I'm like flying this plane. I think I'm going for a chit chat with Rohan. And here I am at the end of the Peachtree fucking terminal getting ready to take off in a Cessna. I'm like, holy shit. And so he's, and you know, so I'm like, 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, I'm ready for takeoff. And he's like, clear for takeoff, go up 10 degrees and I'm ready to right. And he's like, okay, so that means you're going to head up and then you're flying to the left. And he's like, okay, go. And I'm like, oh, so I press the little thing and he's like, go, all the way. And I'm like, And then we're just riding down the runways, keep it straight. Holy, this thing is going all over. Like, I'm like,
I'm
like a fucking teenager that just drank a bottle of Golden Grain going all over the road. But then he's like, you know, you hit 80 and he's like, okay, you know, I want you to gently pull back on the yoke. Here's Brian. And we go straight up. He's like, you're going to stall, flatten it out, And I'm like, he's like, go up. And there's trees at the end. And I'm like,
Oh my God.
This guy is probably regretting the moment because my adrenaline's pumping so much. I'm just like yanking it back and forth.
Yeah.
I'm like, So then we get up there and we're flying around and I'm like, how did you let me do that? And he's like, how else do you think you're going to learn? He goes, what do you want me to do? Sit on your lap? And he's like, when someone taught you how to drive, what did you do? And
I guess I thought there had been like a simulator or
me
something.
Me too. Well, I think there are. I just see it's not Rohan style. And then he let me land the plane on the very first time I ever flew, which if you've ever flown, and I only know this because I did a number of hours in air. I only know that landing is absolutely the most dangerous part of any flight, right?
Yes, it is.
Taking off and landing, but landing is way more dangerous than taking off. Taking off is easy. If you can hit airspeed and you can pull back, you're probably going to go up in the air, or you can at least, you know, stop somewhere down the runway.
Yeah.
But landing, you know, there's only one way to do landing, and that's to do it right.
That's the tricky part. Yeah.
And I landed it. Like, and I was never so scared in my entire life. Never. And my landing was much better than my takeoff, but it still wasn't all that great. We were kind of, I can only imagine, you know, they have a big, like a restaurant at the end of that.
They do.
At the
I've
end of
that.
The runway,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I've been to that place.
It's wonderful. It's this little airport and you have a lot of commercial traffic for private jets and stuff in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And they have this wonderful restaurant, big patio, you know, you can listen to the people talking on the, you know, you can have little headsets and listen, but you watch all the planes coming in and going on these two different runways. Well, they probably saw this guy just skipping down the like a duck, like a duck with one wing, like oh, it's Brian.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, you get to hear the guy on the like that, you know, the guy in the tower. 24 is everything okay? Right. Yeah, this is 24.
You got a newbie.
Yeah, this is SL444. You know, everything's okay. Can you please have fire and medical waiting at the end of the runway?
Right, exactly.
Roger that, 24. He's scared of heights. Oh shit.
I can't believe you did this.
Holy. It was the most unbelievable thing. Like people who know me, who really know me, can't believe that for 1 second that I actually flew a plane or that I actually once skydived.
Oh right, I remember that. Yeah.
There's a video of that.
Yeah.
We think Nico's a ghost? Check me out 5 seconds before I jump out of an airplane. The guy basically had to drag my lifeless body and push it out of the airplane.
I would be the same way.
I would be the same way. I did it on a dare. Kevin was like, because I called them and they're like, all the brothers are at the skydiving place. And I just happened to call them on a Saturday afternoon. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're all here at the skydiving place. And I'm like, what the fuck? You don't even think to give me a call? And they're all laughing. They're like, please, Brian, we're skydiving.
Right.
You can't even climb a ladder. What do you think skydiving? And I just got like, you know, upset at that. And I was like, I would skydive if you guys would have asked me. And Kevin's like,
well, get down here.
Yeah. Get here or never happened. He's like, and then he called me back 3 minutes later. He's like, I already paid for you. And I'm like, oh, you what?
Go now.
I already paid for you. You got to be here now. Come on. You got 45 minutes to get here. And no shit that they pushed me out of that airplane. Oh. I screamed like a little woman. Like Mia. Like a teething Mia.
Yeah.
Ah! 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 And that was before the plane took off.
Were Were you glad you did it, though?
That was like when I was on the ground practicing. Was I glad I was dead? I'm glad I survived.
Yeah, me too.
I think I might do it again under the right circumstances, but I have children now. So
yeah.
It's absolutely asinine to be flying a plane when you're scared of heights and jumping out of that same airplane.
Yes, exactly.
When you have children.
Yeah.
And by the way, your insurance does not cover, you know, life insurance did not cover student pilots. They just won't do it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there you go.
TCBpodcast.com is where you go, and you can find our entire library, audio or video, at The Commercial Break on Instagram. 470-584-8449. We will get back to you. It may take us a day or two. And at The Commercial Break on Instagram? I think I said that.
Yes.
Then go to Clubhouse. We're going to be sending all kind of links and invites. Make sure you make it, if you can, to Bill Burr on May 2nd in the Comedy Podcasts Club. And then we'd also love to see you at Stephen Wright on the 9th, and then Susie Essman on the 16th.
Yeah. Each Sunday.
Each Sunday at 9. At 9 p.m. 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the United States. If you need an invite or you don't understand what the fuck we're talking about, just DM us and someone from our staff will get back to you.
Yes.
Someone from our staff.
Brian.
This guy. Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's me. Okay, well, listen. I don't know how much more I can talk about today. It's the middle of the afternoon. I'm like, tonight, I'm already tired.
Yeah.
Until next time.
Bye.
The Commercial Break. New episodes on Tuesdays and now Fridays. New YouTube clips drop daily at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. Visit tcbpodcast.com for access to our entire media library. Follow us at The Commercial Break on Instagram and join The Commercial Break Club on Clubhouse to join in live recordings. Each episode is written and produced by Brian Green, co-hosted by Chrissy Hoadley, with additional content provided by Tina Connell.